Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
So glad you could be with us for this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. And with me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. For the past couple of days, we've been going over an article that was first published in the Washington Post and then carried by a number of news agencies. The title in the Washington Post said, Mormon Church has misled members on $100 billion tax-exempt investment fund, whistleblower alleges. The whistleblower was a guy by the name of David A. Nielsen. At the time the article was written, it was a 41-year-old Mormon who worked until September as a senior portfolio manager at the church's investment division company named Ensign Peak Advisors that is based near the church headquartered in downtown Salt Lake City. And if you caught the recent shows, we went into some of the details that this article covered, but in yesterday's show, we really looked at what Mr. Nielsen would like to see happen regarding what he thinks is some mismanagement or even criminal activity regarding the money that the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints brings in and puts into this fund, more specifically, the Ensign Peak Fund. And in yesterday's show, I read you this one little paragraph where it says that Nielsen urges the IRS to strip the nonprofit, speaking of the LDS Church, of its tax-exempt status and alleges that Ensign could owe billions in taxes. And yesterday, I wanted to caution our listeners to be careful about jumping on the emotional bandwagon and calling for the tax-exempt status of the church to be revoked. And this is why. First of all, you would have to prove that there was, in fact, some real serious criminal activity going on. I don't think you're going to be able to prove that. Another thing, I know that a lot of people have been hurt by the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I know there's a lot of people that are still suffering from their experience from being a member in the LDS Church and how, because of what they learned about the church, they may have left the church and that caused them a lot of family problems, even some social problems. I understand that. I get that. But just because you've been hurt by the church, I don't think legitimately calls for the church to be stripped of its tax-exempt status, unless, of course, as I've said, there's been some illegal activity that would warrant such a thing. And that's going to be a pretty difficult challenge to prove.
It's interesting that we've been talking about this, and we've talked about $100 billion the church has in this one account. And we're saying, well, that's a lot of money. But what is a lot of money to the IRS? The IRS doesn't give any specifics. So because they're staying within the letter of the law, I don't see any reason why the IRS should be able to do anything to fine them, to tax them on money that was legally obtained.
And I would agree completely with what you're saying, Eric. And this is why I really am serious when I caution, especially our Christian listeners, to be careful and not go to that kind of a conclusion based on these emotional numbers that are being thrown about through this article. I understand it sounds like a lot of money, but you have to keep in mind it's a large corporation. The church has its tentacles all over the world. They own millions and millions of dollars worth of property and things like that. It takes a lot to run a corporation like that. If you're going to start saying that the church should lose its tax-exempt status over this, you better have a very good case. When you have a society such as we have in the United States, where more and more people are turning secular and calling for the tax-exempt status to be revoked on all churches, once you start down that road, you can't even imagine where it could possibly end up to where even your church could be accused of. And I've seen this already. I've already seen these kind of complaints being raised by atheists who hate Christianity. They hate your faith. This is why I'm saying be careful about this, because this is where our country may be going someday. And once you take away the tax-exempt status from the churches, I will guarantee you, you will be meeting in the basement of a church member because your building will be gone. Imagine if your church had to pay property tax on its building and property for parking. The churches, most of them, would probably go out of business within a couple of years. So be very careful about this. The tax-exempt status for churches, I think our founding fathers were doing something good for the churches in allowing that to take place. I don't think it was a bad thing at all. And then I'm, again, speaking as a Christian, and though I do not agree with the theological principles of the LDS Church, I think I'm wise enough to know that whatever may be leveled against the church in this kind of arena could someday be leveled against all churches. So we need to be very careful and use evidence in drawing our conclusions, not our emotions.
Bill, I want to go back to the book Mormon Hierarchy that we were talking about yesterday, the book Wealth and Corporate Power, written by D. Michael Quinn. I would say D. Michael Quinn does his very best to try to be accurate with all of the holdings the church has had over the years for the salaries and all the other things. I wouldn't say he's an enemy of the church. He's no longer a member. He was excommunicated, but he considers himself to be a DNA Mormon.
So, yeah, that's the phrase he's used in the past.
So, but he is, at some places in here, he seems to try to say, oh, this is okay, but he does have some complaints, and I think we ought to cover those complaints. This is what he writes on page 141 of the book that was published in 2017 by Signature Books. He said, "It is stunning to contemplate that the LDS Church's income from all sources has reached tens of billions annually in the 21st century." And then he refers to Ensign Peak Advisors, which is in the news now, and Ensign Peak Advisors is only one of the LDS organizations established to invest the church's reserve funds.
Well, let me stop you there. So what that statement is telling me, that even though Ensign Peak Advisors is in the news, that's only one entity. There could be other types of investment firms that have hundreds of billions of dollars as well.
When it comes to the morality of $100 billion, I'm not sure that's where we need to look so much as why the church doesn't tell people about its holdings. And so he talks about one number that the church does use is how much is given to humanitarian aid. You can find this on the church website. And this is what Quinn writes on page 142. He refers to a gentleman who referred to the official report that the church has spent $1.4 billion for humanitarian aid in 179 countries from 1985 to 2011. So during the period of 1985 to 2011, the church gave away not just the non-cash contributions of food, clothing, blankets, and other goods that the LDS Welfare Services provides for emergency relief, but giving to other countries and helping them out. And it comes out to really not very much money. It's under $100 million a year over the course of those 30-plus years. Now, the number now is $2.2 billion that goes through 2018. So the church is giving about $110 million a year for this kind of aid. But when you take a look, it sounds like a lot, and it is, $110 million. But when you take a look at all that the church has, and you take a look at other organizations that are charitable frontline organizations, let me just give you one that is a church, Salvation Army, which has fewer than one-tenth of the members of the Mormon Church in 2019, they gave $3.7 billion. They gave more money than the church has given since 1985. You have World Vision, $907 million. Compassion International, $764 million. Samaritan's Purse, $603 million. So you have these different organizations that are doing great work. The church is giving some, but it's not as much as maybe some Latter-day Saints may assume, because the church doesn't really tell you anything more. It just tells you that they are giving $2.2 billion from 1985 on.
And Quinn has a complaint about that, and where he says that the church should probably be more transparent with this kind of money so that stories like this will not come across as being so shocking. If the members knew that they had this money in reserve and why it has money like this in reserve, perhaps more members would be understanding and not so critical.
And this is what he writes on page 142 underneath that. In my judgment, negative reactions would decrease significantly if LDS Church headquarters resumed a detailed financial report to each April's general conference. Such annual reporting could show how the billions in profits from the church's commercial investments make possible its worldwide ecclesiastical and humanitarian expenditures. Bill, are we asking too much for the church to lay out its finances as the Southern Baptist denomination does, as your church does? Many churches will lay out to the members and tell you, okay, here's how much we are expending on salaries and the health and the electric and all of the different utilities. And every member will have a chance to look at those papers. I don't know of many churches that are going to hide those numbers. They want a person who is going to tithe and give to be able to know. But the church doesn't give any numbers whatsoever.
I think you're right. I know in my church, we have a business meeting every year. And when I attended a large church in Southern California years ago, we also had a business meeting every year where those numbers were put forth to the membership. And if they had any questions about them, they were free to ask, to get their questions answered. And I don't think that would be a huge problem. And I think it probably would be more positive for the church itself in the long run if they did come forth and be more transparent with those numbers. And then maybe $100 billion in the Inside Peaks Advisors account wouldn't be as shocking.
Why doesn't the church do this? Quinn quotes from a man named Alan Blodgett, and this is what he said. He said, "It has always puzzled me why the church doesn't tell its own financial story rather than be subjected to the speculations and guesses of outsiders. In my mind, it is a very positive story of which local church leaders and members could be justifiably proud. Why then doesn't the church tell its financial story? I can only guess that church leaders fear that individual members may not understand the vastness of church resources and operations, and having this information might negatively influence their faithfulness and support of church leaders." Well, Bill, now we're seeing the fallout. Because they have not been upfront with their membership, now how many Latter-day Saints who are listening to us, who are faithful, but are considering not tithing anymore to their church because it has so much money in this reserve account? And I'm going to suggest the church might do better in coming clean, just as it did with its doctrines in 2013 to 2015 when the Gospel Topics essays came out and they admitted that Joseph Smith had between 30 and 40 wives, that he used a seer stone to translate the Book of Mormon, that the Book of Abraham is not a literal translation. Maybe they could have escape this fallout by being more honest throughout the years.
You raise a good point, because I'm sure when that news did come out at the very beginning, we know for a fact that it caused a lot of members to be surprised, and it caused some members to even leave the church. But now we're noticing, since that information's been out for a while, it doesn't seem to bother a lot of Latter-day Saints when they hear about this, because the church has been open and upfront. Now, I think it still should, personally, but that's not the way it's worked. And you might have a point here, and I think Quinn may have a point also. If they were to be more upfront, maybe this wouldn't be a big problem. We certainly wouldn't be talking about it today.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism.